Support for Switched on Pop comes from Stereophonic, Broadway's must-experience new play. If you only see one thing on Broadway this year, make sure it's Stereophonic, written by David Adjmi, directed by Daniel Auchin, and featuring original music by Arcade Fire's Will Butler. The play follows a 1970s rock band on the verge of breaking down, breaking up, or breaking through. The New York Times, The New Yorker, and New York Magazine call it best of the year, and Peter Marks of The Washington Post says, okay, I'll go there. Stereophonic is the best play of the year. Get your tickets at stereophonicplay.com/fox.
Good evening, Charlie.
Hello, Nate.
So at the start of every semester, I have my music students do this assignment where they analyze the last song they listened to.
Oh, fun. I like that. I wish I got to do that. Oh, I guess I do it every week.
It's great because not only is it a good exercise, I think, for the students, but for me, I get to go inside the minds of a bunch of 18 to 21-year-olds and hear exactly what they're listening to, which is always very illuminating.
That is a Pandora's box, man. You don't want to open that door.
You know, there'd be some things that surprise you. A lot of Billy Joel in these playlists.
Oh, cool. Huh.
But of course, there's also a lot of 2018 music that I might not be privy to. And the song I want to talk today about is an example of one of those.
Lay it on me.
It is Gucci Gang by Lil Pump. Big head on the
Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang. Really?
What makes you say that, Charlie?
I guess everything about the sound of the song, especially the lyrics, and I just not bought into this Lil Pump.
Okay, so before we spin this, Lil Pump, 17-year-old SoundCloud rapper from South Florida with an $8 million record contract and a private jet. And this song is his ticket to the big time. Let's have a listen to Gucci Gang. Is there a point at which you stop liking it?
Yeah, just about when Lil Pump comes in.
So, Charlie, you had a reaction to this song before I had even gotten the second syllable of Gucci out of my mouth.
Yeah.
And I'm curious because the place I want to start our exploration of this track today is in your reaction to this song. I'm curious what you feel when you listen to this song, and not just like emotionally, but like physically, how do you react to hearing Gucci Gang?
I find it musically dull and I guess derivative, but lyrically repugnant. I mean, it celebrates flagrant luxury consumption and hard drugs with misogynist overtones. The song sort of puts out a message of a resigned acceptance that if you're disillusioned with the world, then you should probably just try to look after yourself, become one of the top 1%, and radically consume luxury goods. So that's my take and why I'm like, wow.
Wow. Scathing. Scathing. Out of the gate. All right.
Wretched.
This is perfect. Because
great.
For the rest of this episode, I am going to try and convince you not to like this song, but to maybe understand why someone else would like this song.
I really don't like the position that I'm sitting in now because I feel like I'm just like a frumpy old person who doesn't understand youth culture.
The way we are going to get into the heart of this track is to start with the music. And so we'll actually kind of push the lyrics to the second half. Let's get into the music. And I want to think about the music of this song in terms of time.
You are so cheesy. I'm down to do that. And as I said, when I went back and I listened to this the second time, I was like, oh, the first 5 seconds of this song, there's something there. Oh.
Gucci Gang. That's it. And that's exactly where we're going to start, Charlie.
Oh, cool.
I'm inspired
okay.
here by an article by one of my old professors, Jonathan Berger at Stanford University, who wrote this brilliant article in Nautilus magazine, How Music Hijacks Our Perception Ooh. Of Time. I think that's exactly what's happening in Gucci Gang.
Okay.
Lil Pump and his beat makers, Big Head and Janiels, I think I'm pronouncing that right, have hijacked our perception mm-hmm. of time.
Okay.
In the beginning of this song, we have a number of simultaneous temporal planes interacting.
Okay. Simultaneous temporal planes. Wait, do you mean like simultaneous temporal WestJets?
In order to hear them, thank you for your patience. In order to hear
them, there was a reference on the song. Jets, planes. WestJet.
I know they kicked him off one of their planes and now they deserve.
I'm trying to disrupt you. Okay. What are these different temporal planes?
I will not be stopped. In order to hear these different temporal layers, we have to break down the intro into some of its constituent parts.
Okay. First 16 bars, like them. That's cool.
Okay, so let's pick out some of these features. Let's start with the piano that kind of seems to be the center of this piece. Okay, so here's our first kind of temporal plane.
Okay.
We can hear that this piano part suggests a certain speed, a certain tempo.
It's kind of a head-nodding tempo.
So that piano, with its kind of head-nodding beat, as you said, that's kind of our lowest level, our slowest layer of tempo.
All right.
Okay, now let's pick out another sound in here that we'll just call the spacey synth sound, for lack of a more clinical terminology. Now, if we throw the implied beat behind here, we'll hear that it's a little faster than the piano section that we listened to earlier.
Yeah, okay, so it's a jog beat. We're jogging now.
Yeah, moving at a rate 2 to 1, twice as fast as the previous. And then we want to pick out one other part layered in here, and this is a high piano part.
Okay.
And if we hear the implied beat from this faster temporal dimension, it's going to sound something like this.
Okay, so now we're running.
Yeah, okay, right. We've gone from a nod to a jog to a flat-out run. Each one of these discrete parts suggests a different kind of temporal flow. And they're all related to each other at even ratios. So we kind of have this pyramid. We have the kind of slow head nodding tempo at the bottom. We have the nice like trot tempo in the middle. And then we have the fast run at the top.
I like that we're using mixed metaphors. Let's say nod is walk.
Okay, right. Let's get this all into some kind of bipedal arrangement here. You're totally right. Okay, so what? So that's walk, trot, and run? Perfect.
Wait, humans can't trot.
Oh, Charlie, you're killing me. Okay,
you say bipedalism. Sorry.
Walk, jog, and run.
Great.
Okay.
I'm satisfied.
Okay, so now that we've got these three temporal levels in our minds, now we can sort of talk about how composers manipulate time. Like, what does that even mean, really? And in order to understand that, we have to get a little bit into neuroscience.
Okay.
I did manage to muddle my way through the paper published in Frontiers of Human Neuroscience called The Neural Substrates of Subjective Time Dilation.
Ooh, say more, please.
Yes. Okay. What they're trying to assess in this article is this strange cognitive phenomena in which an object moving towards an observer is subjectively perceived as longer in duration than the same object that is static or moving away from you.
Wait, what?
Yeah, take a minute to let that sink in. In other words, when they show subjects 5 images and 4 of them have just a static image and one of them has an image like a disc moving towards the viewer, even if the total duration of each of those images is shown for the same amount of time, the one that is moving towards them is perceived to take longer than all the other static images.
Okay.
Okay, so this is just maybe one small example of this thing called subjective time dilation.
Huh.
That we don't experience time the way a clock ticks by, right?
Oh.
That is, we don't experience time on this Euclidean sort of like totally regular scale of all events being perceived like relative to some equal benchmark of duration.
This is like Einstein's theory of relativity applied to perception.
Yeah, yeah, precisely, precisely.
Oh, okay.
A much more sort of colloquial way to say this, I guess, would be something like time flies when you're having fun, right? Time moves in different ways for us, and that's part of our enjoyment of aesthetic experiences, and especially of music, which is the most temporal of all the arts.
So back to Lil Pump.
Back to Lil Pump, yes. When we listen to Gucci Gang and we hear these different temporal layers at once, we get to experience the composers here sort of playing with our perception of time.
Hmm.
Disassociating us from that normal, you know, regular stopwatch kind of perception of time and into this more subjective, like warping and stretching and diminution of time.
So you're saying that you're basically getting drunk off of listening to this song?
Yeah, or perhaps, you know, taking a hit of lean.
I don't even know what that is. I'm so lame.
It's codeine and cough syrup and something else, I think.
Oh, wow. Ooh, that sounds terrible.
No, but you're exactly right. That is part of the point of this, I think, is to make you feel a little woozy, like a little uncertain of your temporal bearings.
Ooh, wow. Okay. That's cool.
And Lil Pump and Big Head and Gneals are far from the first composers to latch on to this idea that music can sort of warp our perception of time.
I did think that this kind of sounded like a future beat, but I'm feeling you're taking me back further in history than things from just last year.
No, you're absolutely right, Charlie. We need to go further back. It is time for classical masters, specifically the masters of musical time and suspension.
Yes.
Mahler and Schubert.
Okay.
And in that spirit, I'm actually going to suspend time for a moment and we'll listen to those masters.
Support for Switched on Pop comes from Stereophonic, Broadway's must-experience new play. If you're anything like us, you're obsessed with music. Not just listening to it, but everything behind the scenes as well. What makes a good band? What makes a great song? And what does it take to make it big? All of these questions and more are explored in the remarkable new Broadway play, Stereophonic. The New York Times, The New Yorker, and New York Magazine call it best of the year, and Peter Marks of The Washington Post says, okay, I'll go there. Stereophonic is the best play of the year. Written by David Adjmi, directed by Daniel Auchin, and featuring original music by Arcade Fire's Will Butler, the story follows an up-and-coming 1970s rock band as they gather in a California music studio to record a brand new album, but it's a bumpy ride that threatens to tear the band apart. You may find yourself being reminded of the famous recording processes for legendary bands like Led Zeppelin, Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band, and Fleetwood Mac. So get your tickets now and see Stereophonic live on Broadway this spring. Visit stereophonicplay.com/vox for more info.
Side B after an ad break.
Nice transition.
Thank you. See you there. We're back. We've been discussing time dilation in the music of Lil Pump's Gucci Gang. But in order to really appreciate this technique, Charles, I think we need to go back and we got to spin some Gustav Mahler.
Oh, some classical masters. Let's listen to Mahler.
Okay. If you really want to hear a composer manipulate our sense of time, let's go to Mahler's Das Lied von der Erde, his song cycle that ends with this heartbreaking piece called Der Abschied, or The Farewell.
Oh, The Farewell. That's sweet.
Thank you.
sounds like the Star Wars desert scene.
So similar to Lil Pump's Gucci Gang, we have two temporal levels here.
Okay, yes, that's similar.
The low brass drums, they're doing this very slow, almost dirge. Mm. And then on top of that, just the solo oboe doing these much faster rhythmic patterns.
Mm.
Together, it really warps your sense of where any temporal home is.
Oh, yeah.
And by the end of this piece, you're kind of left wondering, okay, was that 30 minutes, you know, the duration of the actual piece, or was it 30 hours, or was it 30 seconds? I'm not really sure. Mahler has suspended time here.
The only layer which is missing would be the trap hats in order to update it to the Gucci Gang sort of style.
We're going to get there. We're going to get there. Let's shoot over now to another romantic composer, Franz Schubert and his piano quintet. Okay, the adagio movement here is another great example of music that seems to be kind of frozen in time. With this piece, it's so kind of disorienting that Jonathan Berger, who wrote that article I mentioned in the first half, actually interviewed professional musicians who performed this piece and asked them how long they thought playing this movement took. And, you know, it actually took them 14 minutes or something, but they estimated that it took twice as long. They were like, oh, that's probably 30 minutes or so. So even the people who play this music for a living, you know, day in, day out, can kind of get lost in the temporal mystery of these pieces.
Hmm.
And Charlie, you mentioned the trap drums in Gucci Gang.
Yeah, the
that's the final element here. Now, I don't have, you know, Mahler and Schubert were not like busting out trap drums in the back of their orchestras, for better or worse. But there is a composer from in that, you know, Western art tradition who I think is relevant here, because in Gucci Gang, the trap drums are like the final element, the final temporal element. They dance between all of these different levels, the slow, the medium, the fast.
Yeah.
They kind of connect it all together, and by constantly switching between them, keep our brains sort of guessing where we're actually situated.
Right, and the thing in that trap drumming is that the hi-hat is inconsistently moving between different subdivisions of the beat, from eighth notes to 16th notes to triplets, to triplets double time, and just kind of moving all over the place. The snare drum sometimes hits on the 2 and 4, as you expect, standard beat, and sometimes it's kind of all over the place. And likewise, the kick is kind of all over the place too, and it keeps you suspended in disbelief.
Absolutely. I couldn't have said it better, Charles. Let's listen to actually the very end of Gucci Gang now, just to get a sense of how all those elements, 808 kicks, snare drums, and hi-hats all kind of operate on these three different temporal layers.
Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang.
Yeah, if you just try to count downbeats on that, 1, 2, 3, 4, almost nothing lands on the downbeats. It's all over it. It's just dancing.
Totally. And moving from the kind of these slower patterns to quicker patterns back and forth.
Mm.
And a composer, I think, who we can look to as sort of a forebear of this would be Conlin Nancarrow. And before I tell you anything more about him, I just want you to listen to one of his pieces, Charlie.
Cool.
And I just have a simple question. What are we listening to?
All right. Ooh. We're listening to 4 out of tune pianos?
Good guess. Incorrect. Any others?
It's not prepared piano.
You're getting warmer. Is it being played by a human being? That should be your first question.
Oh, that's what I was actually going to think next. It sounds like it's some sort of MIDI-controlled electronic instrument.
Okay, so all of your guesses are totally worthy and totally wrong. But in between all of them lies the correct answer. This is a piece for player piano.
Oh, for player piano.
Yeah.
Right. So I said prepared piano, which is when you put weird things between the strings to make the piano sound strange, like putting a marble on the string and it bounces around.
Sure. Screws. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
right. But this is a player piano.
What's a player piano?
A player piano was one of the first mechanized instruments that would play music on its own. You would put a sheet of paper with little dots in it into the piano and they would scroll, and as the different dots were played, almost kind of like a windy boxes that kids have,
yeah,
the piano would actually play itself.
Yeah, you're doing great.
It was a huge innovation in the creation of popular music, because all of a sudden people all over the world could be playing the exact same song on their piano.
Yeah, think of Westworld, for those who are familiar with that show.
That's a much easier way of saying it. Yeah.
Before, the jukebox was the player piano.
Right.
And
right.
In a way, this composer, Conlon Nancarrow, an American composer who became a Mexican citizen and composed many of these studies in the 50s and 60s while living in Mexico on these sort of hacked player pianos, basically. We can see as sort of the forebear to the trap drumming that we're hearing on Gucci Gang, because this is exactly what Nancarrow realized you could sort of exploit with these impossible instruments, these superhuman instruments.
These instruments
that can do things that humans can't do, can play with precision and speed that humans can't.
I gotta hear this again. Yeah, totally impossible. I don't know how you would play that by hand.
And what Nancarrow realized, I think, that the SoundCloud rappers of today are still trading on is that our ears are similarly titillated by this. Like this kind of superhuman precision that shapes time in ways that we can only grasp at, you know? Like that's what we're hearing in these trap drums that are literally placed in a perfectly arranged matrix so that every time we hear them, they are just like so perfectly tick-tick-tick-tick-tick. I mean, I can't do it. Composers have been manipulating time with whatever resources at their disposal since, you know, the days of Gregorian chant.
Yeah.
Now, let's bring it back to Little Pump once again.
Okay.
Because, again, like, why does this matter, this sort of, like, temporal play and time dilation and warping of the perceptual present? Like, why does that matter? Okay, again, one thing is that kind of psychedelic pleasure that we were talking about earlier, right? That sort of, like, dissociative glee of sort of, like, losing your sensory bearings. But then there's also this togetherness that comes from that. There's a sort of equality in that state. Does that make any sense? I think that's what my students are responding to, is that in the temporal flow that's engendered, you know, just by the 2 minutes of this song, it's not a long song.
It's 2 minutes and a few seconds.
At all. And yet within it are these whole worlds, I think, of temporal exploration. I think that, like, provides a sort of play space for people. It brings people together.
My favorite thing about what you just said is that you asked a question in a very professorial way, answered your own question. I'll give you an ish.
You'll give me an ish.
I'm there for the first half. Absolutely. I am a bit lost in the way that it disorients me temporally. And I think that is beautiful. I like that beat. Maybe sometimes the classical references might seem silly, but I think that a lot of the instrumentation and effects that they're using almost sounds like harpish, piano-ish. Like, there's a kind of orchestration happening to it. So I'm actually even hearing those kind of classical-ish sounds. So I like that you made those references. Like, all of that's connecting for me. Where I don't think you've got me yet is, how is this creating a sense of, like, communal togetherness? I'm not catching you there.
That's perfect, because it brings us back to where we started.
Yeah.
Gucci Gang, right? In some ways, the most offensive part of the song, I think, to us is the inanity of that chorus.
Right.
Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang,
Gucci Gang.
Phrase repeated 53 times over the course of this song. Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang. In the simplicity of this lyric, I think it sort of becomes a mantra of sorts that anyone can intone. This is very inviting music, as just by dint of the fact that anyone can sing along and anyone can sort of imbibe this chorus.
I don't know. Yes, I get what you're saying. And it's really hard for me to turn onto the song given all that I said in the very beginning. It doesn't make me excited that a major record label wants to support something with just such a retrograde message around sexual politics and abusive relationship to hard drugs. I'm not that interested in it, especially that it's clearly targeted to a super young audience.
I can't poke any holes in your reticence, but I can ask,
yeah,
do you have an appreciation of why those same young people might gravitate towards this song?
Oh my gosh, absolutely. No.
Beyond the sort of attractiveness of its risque lyrics.
Totally. Yeah, absolutely. You're on point. There is some cool stuff in here, and I really would love to hear more about how other people hear it and why it's meaningful and fun for them.
So with that, all you teenagers out there.
They're there. We know. We got a lot of teenage listeners. It's great.
So with that, anyone who's a teenager or teenager at heart, why not, who is a fan of Gucci Gang or not, just tell us. Reach out to us at switchedonpop.com. Wait, what's our thing?
It's contact at switchedonpop.com. Yeah. And you can find us on Twitter at switchedonpop, though I think only people over 30 use Twitter at this point.
So do we need a Snapchat?
You know we can't figure that out. We're far too old. Yeah. There's a Facebook, facebook.com/switchedonpop or whatever. You can find us there. And we'll get back to you. We love hearing from you. It's really fun.
Charles, I have exhausted for now my thoughts on Gucci Gang to, I'm sure, your extreme relief. And all that's left is for us to roll credits.
I too am exhausted. Let's do it.
Switched on Pop is produced by me, Nate Sloan, and he, Charles Harding.
We have an excellent editor and mixer. His name is Bill Lance, and a designer that we think is just absolutely wonderful. His name is Luke Harris.
Ooh. We're a proud member of the Panoply Network. You can find our episodes there on Apple and on Spotify or any other podcast player of your choosing.
We haven't asked for a while, but if you do listen on Apple, please leave us a review. It really does help the show. It means a lot to us, and we really love hearing what your thoughts are, what you like, what you want more of, what you want less of. We will listen to you and make better and better shows.
Amen. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another episode. Until then, thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.
Support for Switched on Pop comes from Stereophonic, Broadway's must experience new play. If you only see one thing on Broadway this year, make sure it's Stereophonic, written by David Adjmi, directed by Daniel Auchin, and featuring original music by Arcade Fire's Will Butler. The play follows a 1970s rock band on the verge of breaking down, breaking up, or breaking through. The New York Times, The New Yorker, and New York Magazine call it best of the year, and Peter Marks of the Washington Post says, okay, I'll go there. Stereophonic is the best play of the year. Get your tickets at stereophonicplay.com/fox.